My name is Andrew. I'm part of the team here in the 815. And I just want to say, if anyone is visiting tonight or you're new, huge welcome to you. We have been talking about the Sabbath this term, just to catch you up if you are new. And it's been amazing so far, it really has. We've heard about how the Sabbath is a day of delight and a day of freedom. And last week, Emily talked to us about Jesus as the Prince of Peace. He's the owner and distributor of peace, and he invites us to fully enjoy it. And so off the back of these amazing talks, I just want to further our thinking about the Sabbath by just considering for a moment if we've created space in our lives to fully enjoy and participate in this Sabbath that God has called us to. And just to remind us where in the Bible it occurs, in many places, but one of the main places, we're going to just read quickly from Deuteronomy 5, where we find the Ten Commandments, verses 12 to 16. So if you have a Bible near you, have a look. Deuteronomy 5. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor the alien within your gates, so that your manservant and maidservant may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. So some of what I want to say tonight is about resisting culture. I want you to consider this question. Are we going to resist the pressures around us in order to fully enjoy, fully protect this wonderful day that we've just heard about God giving us? On a practical note, what are some of the things that we can do to bring Sabbath to life, if you will? And then finally, just to consider, what ways might our practice of Sabbath overflow to bless those around us? And I want to start by just picking up on this idea of resistance. It's easy for the church to become tranquilized and impotent, but at the heart of Christianity is a call to resist. To resist the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh, the ways of the devil. Each one of us is called to fight in a battle of resistance for the greater good that God is calling us to. I never tire of hearing Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're a non-conformist people. What a radical calling. There's meant to be this constant pushing back against the world and a submission to God as he reshapes our thinking and brings life to that. But we live in a world that almost always encourages us to conform. And our hearts have a natural tendency to want to follow that leading. Resisting the ways of the world can be scary, and to be honest, it can be really tiring. I've always remembered a sticker on my mate's car at school, and I love quoting it to the youth group now, and the sticker said, "Only dead fish go with the flow." And tonight is about asking ourselves, have we become a dead fish in any relation to the Sabbath rest? Have we become dead fish? Have we been swept up in the flow of culture? Or are we swimming upstream to get to what God has for us? And I really think that the notion and practice of Sabbath has largely been forgotten about in our society. I mean, how can you take time to rest in a YOLO world? There's just too much to do. There's too many edgy things to do, too many Instagram moments to capture. Rest is a waste of time. Sleep when you're dead. In Japan, working too hard is actually recorded as an official cause of death. Known as karoshi, it is observed in workers with no previous risk factors who die from heart attacks or strokes triggered by stress. And I was looking on some websites this week, just trying to get an idea of what culture says to us when we sort of reach out and ask for help with tiredness, with anxiety, and those sorts of things. One site said, Take a break. Do things you enjoy. Take a holiday. Delegate better. Learn to say no. These are all really good things that I totally agree with, but nowhere did it just plainly state, take a day off. On another site, play with a pet. Practice gratitude. Don't try to control the uncontrollable. This is the one I like. Avoid people who stress you out. Again, no mention of just taking a day off. And last week in the Sunday Times, I read this article, which I absolutely loved. This is not a political commentary, so don't read into this, but just take it as it is. America is living through a kind of Trumpian genesis, 7 days of high-speed political creation. In the beginning, Trump created heaven for his supporters and hell for the mainstream media. And Washington was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of CNN. And Trump said, let Obamacare be repealed. And Trump saw the reports of his inauguration. They were bad. And Trump divided the press from the administration. And Trump called the first day a national day of patriotic devotion. Then day two, dominated by women's marches. Day four saw the 5 new executive orders. On the 5th day, Trump ordered the Department of Homeland Security to begin building a wall. And on the 6th day, his press secretary said it would be paid by Mexico. Technically, Trump was entitled to a day of rest on Friday. He didn't take it. This is just obviously fictitious. Maybe President Trump did take a Sabbath, I have no idea. But as I've been thinking about this talk, I've been realizing how our culture has really lost the vocabulary of Sabbath. I think even the church has lost it in many ways. As I think back to all the talks that I've heard being part of the church, all the advice, I know people have talked to me a lot about rest, which is great, but talking about the Sabbath, maybe even the church has lost a bit of its vocabulary about the Sabbath and all that it entails, the richness, the deepness that we've been hearing about this term. And in many cases where the church has maintained a vocabulary of Sabbath, it's become bound up with legalism and gloom rather than freedom and delight. I always remember my mom talking about her summer holidays to her aunt's house, and they were strict Northern Irish Protestants from good Ulster Scots background. And on Sundays, they were not allowed to go for a walk. They weren't allowed to go to the beach. If they were going to read anything, it would be either the Bible or the Christian Herald, which must have been a magazine. And her abiding memory of Sundays, of the Sabbath day with her family at those times was just of sheer boredom. It seems like either the Sabbath gets diluted and homogenized with every other day, or else we can risk turning it into just this religious exercise that makes us less joyful than we were before. We need to push back against this, need to resist, need to uncover the freedom of Sabbath once more. And like Kate reminded us 2 weeks ago, the rhythm and recognition of the Sabbath had such a central, non-negotiable part in the place in the life of the people of Israel. The day that God rested was blessed by him and made holy. That's so crucial. In blessing the Sabbath day, God was just infusing it with his goodness. That's amazing. Don't we want to just fully enjoy that? What an invitation. A day set apart, infused with God's goodness. I want to just build on this idea of Sabbath being a day of resistance. I mean, resistance was at the heart of the Sabbath when the people were first given the command that we heard from the reading. At the end of the fourth commandment, God says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In this command, God is saying to the people, think back to the days in Egypt. Think back to those times when you were still a people, a whole people group in slavery. I mean, life was horrendous for the Israelites. It was terrible. They were being worked to the bone It says in Exodus, the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the fields. They did not have a day of rest. They were being worked literally like slaves because they were enslaved. And God says, remember those days when you never got a day off, the constant brick making, the enslavement. It was me who freed you from that. And so he gives them the Sabbath as a means of resistance to ever becoming enslaved again by work, or not just by work, but by any enslavement, to resist all kinds of idols, all kinds of false gods. And this day was just this safeguard, an acknowledgement that God, Father God, was their liberator. And God says through the prophet Ezekiel, I give them my Sabbath as a sign between us, so that they would know that I, the Lord, made them holy. So the Sabbath was more than just a day off, but it was this holy sign. And we too, as the people of Jesus, have been released from slavery. I don't know if you've ever heard someone tell you that before, but Christians are people who've been released from slavery. Once enslaved by the power of sin, the grip of sin on our life, now completely set free, just like the people of Israel. Galatians 4:7 says, so you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. So the Sabbath for us, just like the people of Israel, stands as this monument to freedom, a monument to liberty. It's a day when we can say, I am not a slave anymore. I am a free man. I have been liberated. How cool is that? I mean, that's a vision for Sabbath, right? A weekly declaration that I am free and I resist becoming enslaved again. A big part of that is just not being enslaved by our work or by everything that work entails. The theologian Walter Brueggemann defines Sabbath as work stoppage, a refusal to be identified by productivity. Because in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he rested. So that creation itself, we find even in creation, has this rhythm of work and rest. And Sabbath is just keeping in tune with that rhythm that is in creation, the rhythm of work and rest. And modern society so often operates in opposition to this truth, which actually leads us, I think, as a society to be ungenerous, overstretched, tired, stretched thin, too easily offended. And as I was preparing this talk this week and thinking about the challenge of Sabbath and where sometimes we need to resist, to be honest, I realized that I just massively failed at this at university. There wasn't actually a day of the week when I didn't cut ties with productivity. I didn't stop for a day and just celebrate that I am a free man in God. And I didn't need to be afraid. Work and grades actually, to be honest, had a very strong hold on my life. These are the sorts of pressures that we just need to push back against on the Sabbath. So in order to let our souls rest, there is also some other forces that we need to just resist. And I think one worth pointing out is consumerism. This notion in us that we need to have, that we need to amass more stuff. I remember in my hometown in Northern Ireland when I was young that almost everything was shut on a Sunday. We'd drive home from church and it's just like a ghost town. All the shops are closed. There was just this acknowledgement in the commercial world that everyone would get a day off. Shopkeepers, nobody would go, just shut. Peacefulness. And it's really obvious that since then, that has just been lost in culture. And especially with online shopping, you know, 24/7 in our rooms, wherever we are, whenever we need to, we're just a click away from getting that thing that we really need, that we must have. I mean, the myth of consumerism is that if I have it, it'll make me happier. And the truth of Christianity is that in Jesus we lack nothing. Sabbath is a day for busting the myth and embracing the truth. To silence that voice in us that says, I have to have that. Oh, that'll, if I could just get that, it'll be that extra little bit sweet. I'll, you know, I need it. So maybe you could experience or experiment with a shop-free Sabbath. One day a week where you're just going to cut ties with consumerism. You're not going to go to the shops. You're not going to browse online. You're not going to do anything because you know deep down you don't need it. And you have enough in God. In fact, you have everything. And this probably calls into question our smartphones too. Another thing we might need to just resist. Maybe some of us need to resist the myth that we should be contactable and connected at all times. I know I do. How might switching off the Wi-Fi change your day off? What might it do to your headspace, to a better connection with God? I took my Sabbath yesterday, and it was a lovely day. We went to the pub out in the country and had a great time. My father-in-law is visiting. It was lovely. But at the end of the day, I was talking to my wife, and I just realized I've been on my phone all day. WhatsApp group from the boys in Northern Ireland talking about the rugby all day, which is fun. But at the end, I just felt, you know what? I've been sort of feeling in demand or needing to check up, needing to reply, browsing the news, checking Instagram. None of these things are bad, but on a day off, I suppose I felt a little bit tired from that. It wasn't restful, this whole thing of being in contact all the time. So I challenge you to experiment with the idea of a smartphone-free Sabbath, as well as cutting off consumerism too. These are just my suggestions. You might be great with this, I don't know. The interesting thing is, just to bring all this together, as we resist culture and embrace Sabbath, we find that Sabbath actually becomes a witness. Sabbath becomes a visual proclamation of who we are as the people of God. Just like it was for the Jewish people living among the different people groups, they were the free people. They were the people of God. They were no longer slaves. And the Sabbath was a proclamation to them and to all the people groups around that this is our God. This is the God that we have, the God who frees us. And so Sabbath, like we said, was just that monument, that witness every week to who they were. And in a culture that has largely forgotten how to truly rest, we will so obviously stand out if we put this stuff into practice, if we live this out, with our emails off, our books closed, our mind just allowed to rest. People will begin to see that we aren't bound by fear, that we aren't people who are afraid, that we don't need to always produce and be productive, that we have nothing to prove other than the goodness of God. We have the bravery because we have God in our lives. We can just drop everything and enjoy true rest. What a witness. And it's not just that Sabbath is a witness, but Sabbath also readies us for the other 6 days in the week. Interestingly, Walter Brueggemann says that when we live in a depleted state, we're easily managed, easily influenced, and easily advertised to. It's that whole thing of being conformed to the pattern of the world. Being conformed, us getting conformed, happens so much more easily when we're stretched thin, when we're tired, when we take our eyes off God, when we're going at a million miles an hour. The world starts to press in. And Sabbath helps us to be gathered selves. We have energy and we have courage, and we're not so easily managed. Our calling is to be salt and light. Those are two very powerful things, very noticeable things. But Jesus asked the question, if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? How can we live out the calling that God has placed in our lives and be a witness to him if we live in a kind of unsalty, depleted state? We can't operate from depletion. The love, the encouragement, the wisdom, the Christ-likeness that we offer to others needs to come from an overflow of our lives, because God is constantly filling us up rather than this kind of place of forced depletion. As we go out to be witnesses, as you go out to be a witness in this events week, in the Brooks events week, you can't operate from depletion. When we operate best as Jesus' witnesses, it's from an overflow of God pouring into our lives. And Sabbath is the perfect time to just be refilled and refreshed and renewed in the promises and the love of God. I hope that tonight and this term is an inspiration to you to just fully enjoy the Sabbath. I'm not just trying to big up the term and the series. It's already been a massive encouragement to me. I've loved it, and I'm really trying to practice what's been preached. A lot of what I said tonight is simply about doing. Resisting starts with clearing your diary, turning off your phone, avoiding the shop, seeking out peace, whatever you need to do to get this stuff going. My deeply spiritual advice to you tonight is give it a go. All right? Put it into practice. It may seem and feel deeply unspiritual, but that doesn't matter. You just got to do some practical stuff to then kind of make way into the depth and rest of Sabbath. But as we finish, I just want to extend the invitation again of the last couple of weeks that we've heard. And the invitation is this: to come and meet with the God of peace and to have someone pray with you tonight. I think there's probably people in the room who know the feeling of depletion that I'm talking about. Feeling depleted from work and study and the burden that it causes in your life. Feeling depleted from certain relationships or just circumstance, situations, whatever's going on, you might feel in a bit of a depleted state rather than a place of overflow. And I'm also aware that there might be people here tonight who, this is the first time you're hearing about this God who frees, this God who fills us with his love, this God who wants us to know peace that is so deep that it can't be explained but only experienced. And you might have come here with no expectations whatsoever, and you might not have thought that somebody could pray for you, but we want to pray for you tonight. If that's you, if as I've been speaking, or as you've been worshiping, that your heart has been warmed to the idea of a God who is real, who wants to know you, and wants to give you rest, not just on a Sunday, but in every area of your life, not just now, but into eternity. All that stuff that Dan was saying about being known, knowing God, all of that. We want to pray for you if that's what you want to experience. Paul's prayer for the Ephesians was that they might be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Let's not be depleted people. Let's use our Sabbaths to get filled up, to get refreshed. Because God wants to fill us to the fullness of his measure.